From WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
Everyone is coming to the New York World's Fair. They're coming from the four corners of the earth and from five corners Idaho.
It was spring 1964. LBJ was in the White House. An ad agency called Sterling Cooper Draper Price had just opened its doors, and the World's Fair was kicking off in New York City. All right, that middle one didn't happen, but the World's Fair did, and that summer, Belgian waffles were introduced to America.
Our surprise we were that our product was, I mean, sometimes we had fights at the counter. People, you know, when come the time to close, please, one more, one more.
Belgian waffles became a sensation, but somewhere along the line they were co-opted, watered down, made from pancake mix. Today on The Sporkful, I'll talk to the woman who sold the waffles at that World's Fair a half century ago. She'll define a real Belgian waffle, and she'll explain why you probably never heard of her.
Huh, this is a very touchy subject.
Has her mom forgiven her dad for everything that happened all those years ago? Plus, I'll talk to a young waffle maker who's shaking things up. Can old and new coexist? It's the rise, fall, and ultimate redemption of the Belgian waffle. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Marie-Paul Vermeersch was just a teenager when she and her parents opened their Belgian waffle stand at the World's Fair. She didn't even speak English yet. But the experience changed her life. Last year, she was honored on the 50th anniversary of her family's contribution to the American food canon. And I had a chance to sit down with her then. We were also joined by Steve Lipschutz from Waffles and Dingus, which is a waffle truck that's been here in New York since 2007. And on The Sporkful, we like to define our terms, so that's where the conversation began. And I quickly learned that there's actually no such thing as a Belgian waffle.
In Belgium, as you know, and Steve knows, we have many different type of waffles. This particular one that my parents introduced in the 1964 World's Fair, that was actually the Brussels waffle, which is the waffle that is a very, very light waffle, crisp, super deep. Deep cast iron, must have cast iron machines.
And then you're saying that the wells in the waffle structure itself are especially deep in a Brussels style waffle.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes, yes. Although my mother, observing a little bit when we arrived, observing a little bit that there was still a little bit of ignorance here, told my dad the Brussels waffle, call it the Brussels waffle, I don't think it's a good idea because Brussels, where is Brussels for some people? And she said in French, la gaufre belge, we need to call this la gaufre belge, Belgian waffle.
Steve, I'd like to bring you in here.
Sure.
Now, on the Waffles and Dingus menu, you write, and I should mention, by the way, Waffles and Dingus is sort of slang for waffles and things. Is that right? Waffles and thingamabobs?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, on the Waffles and Dingus menu, you write, in Belgium, you'd be slapped with an undercooked mussel for ordering a Belgian waffle for the simple fact that in the motherland, waffles are named after their city of origin. The main heroes of our menu are the Liège, right.
Mm-hmm.
I took French.
Mm-hmm.
The main heroes of our menu are the Liège waffle and the Brussels waffle, both typical Belgian street waffles. So you heard Marie-Paul explain that her parents said, well, we can't call it the Brussels waffle because people don't know. Now, here we are 50 years later. Is this a sign that Americans are better at geography?
I mean, there is a greater understanding. You know, Brussels is the head of the European Union, and there is a better understanding of geography, sure. But part of our mission is to make sure that everything remains authentic. And we wouldn't want to change the name just to fit in with the normal Belgian waffle. It got to a point where even people are taking pancake batter, simple pancake batter, pushing it in a Brussels iron and calling it a Belgian or a Brussels waffle. And that's sort of where we had to intervene and say, whoa, you know.
Marie-Paul, you're nodding. What do you think of that?
Terrible. First of all, those pancake most of the time made with mix. Until today, I still make our waffle from fresh ingredients. No, I've been approached by many companies, why don't you make a dry mix? And it's something I promise my friends I never do.
We're with you on that one.
Yeah. So What is called the Brussels waffle in Belgium is what most Americans think of as the Belgian waffle. But yes, you have the Liège waffle as well, Steve. Now, that one is soft and chewy as opposed to crispy.
Right.
Are the is the physical structure different? Are the wells shallower?
Yeah, I mean, the entire makeup of not only the ingredients, but also the iron that it's baked on is completely different. So the Brussels waffle, as we were talking about, is a batter that's made from scratch and is in these deep wells and a deep grid.
And lighter.
Much
more
lighter.
Liquid. Yeah.
And the Liège waffle is made from a dough, actually, as opposed to a batter, and it has what's called pearl sugar in it, mm-hmm. which is a beet-based sugar that it caramelizes when it cooks. So you end up with this very dense, sweet, soft, and chewy waffle.
Now, don't you divulge the other ingredient that makes it super light, that is... Oh. Nobody knows.
What? There's a secret ingredient?
Yeah.
You guys know
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, yeah.
So,
and it is?
Secret.
It's secret. It's liquid and it's secret.
All right.
And it's not club soda for some of the readers. For some of the readers that my father gave them the recipe because he was exasperated sometimes, people begging him. And he said, yeah, this is a recipe, and told them to put club soda. That's wonderful.
So it was a fake. It was a fake recipe.
It was a fake recipe.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
No club soda.
What are your most vivid recollections from that 1964 World's Fair? Like, when you close your eyes and think about it, what do you picture?
How surprised we were that our product was, I mean, sometimes we had fights at the counter. People, you know, when come the time to close, please, one more, one more. My brother was helping us, and he was kind of a dry humor, and he said, these people never ate anything in their life. I mean, we had many, many, many different stories that, I mean, too many to tell about. But people just couldn't believe how light it just melts. I bite into it, and it melts in my mouth. Originally, we were going to serve just sprinkle with powdered sugar, like what was the most common way that it was eaten back then in Belgium. My mother... She also noticed American people had a sweet tooth. So the whipped cream came around, fresh beaded whipped cream. We were constantly beating whipped creams. And the strawberries. Now, the strawberry, we ran into a big problem because she wanted nothing to soak the waffle, because she wanted nothing that would wet the waffle, because it actually is the waffle that is the product, not the cream,
right.
Not what you put on. And so we tried different ways to slice the strawberries, and it was making juice. And finally, the only alternative was hand-sliced strawberries. So we had a team of 10 people slicing constantly berries by hand.
Wow. At the World's Fair, this
at
is...
the World's Fair, and with nonstop line. So
I imagine
a lot of whipped cream. And we were serving we were garnishing, we were using pastry bag. We didn't have any...
No spray cans.
No spray cans. Right. No, that did not exist, I think, at the time.
And so, Marie-Paul, I mean, you and your parents played this pivotal role in American food history. Did your family make any money off this?
Oh, this is a very touchy subject. We made a lot of money, but my father, being a great visionary, a great entrepreneur, but trusting too much people who approached him, we lost a lot of money. By couple time best partnership, I was trying to put through his head, let's open a shop, us, the family. Mm. Although the rest of my siblings were not interested in the part of the business, but I was. And I won. But he had this bug. He was very unstable.
And your mother now is 95 years old.
Yes.
You're getting a lot of attention right now with this 50th anniversary. What does she make of all this?
Well, at first, she said, I don't want to hear about it anymore. I don't want to bring, you know. And then I start taking her to different celebration. She now, you know, she enjoyed it. But at the beginning, when I start, you know, the media start calling me, she said, oh, no, not again. You know, I don't want to talk about this.
Why is it that she doesn't want to talk about it?
Because now she sees everybody making, you know, really... With our idea that we introduce, waffles are everywhere. But one thing she always says, she said, but they're not my waffles. And she's right.
Right. So yeah. So there's a part of her that sort of feels like, you know, that your family didn't, you know, reap the benefits
exactly.
of this idea.
And then I had to explain to her. I said, well, Mom, at least now it's a recognition. At least now, you know, you're getting a recognition. And let's be up. You know, you that should make you happy. She said, well, I suppose so.
So, Marie-Paul, I should mention also that you did sell your family's recipe to one other family.
Absolutely.
In Syracuse, New York. Mm-hmm. And they are on the condition that they would keep it secret.
Absolutely.
And that they would only serve that recipe at the New York State Fair. Have you been there to taste their version of your recipe?
Yes.
And does it measure up?
Actually, last year, that's the first year my mother was lost the availability to walk, that she was in a wheelchair. And I was here last summer to help out with her. And it was came the time of the New York State Fair. I said, would you like to go see our business, you know? And I said, you're not mad anymore at Dad? Is it time? And she said, oh, I'd like to go. And so we went, and they made the waffles, and she ate 3 waffles in a row.
Wow.
And she said they're exactly like mine.
That's great.
I compliment you. They are my waffles, of
That's
course.
Great.
They were very, very happy.
Steve, let's talk about your history a little bit. The Waffles and Dingus truck launched in 2007. You've been with it almost since the beginning. One of your colleagues told my producer, Kristen, we really felt that the Belgian waffle was in the midst of a difficult moment and we wanted to change that. Tell me more about that.
So, yeah, we spoke a little bit about it before, but there's this misconception about Belgian waffles that it's just the shape. And it really boils down to much more than that. The ingredients, the irons that it's baked on, the preparation, how you eat it. And we found that wasn't being respected. The owner is Thomas de Geest. He's a Belgian gentleman who remembers waffles as a child. And he said, this is it. This is my mission. I'm going to quit my corporate job and I'm going to invest what money I have into buying a 1964 box truck.
I should briefly mention that I have my own legit Belgian waffle history. I have been to Brussels. I had a phenomenal Brussels waffle in the train station in Brussels, and it was so good that I bought an extra one for my brother, who was at the time at summer camp back in the U.S. and complaining about how awful the food was there, that he couldn't even eat it. I bought a Belgian waffle at the train station in Brussels, and I just put it in an envelope and sent it back to the U.S.,
And what it was like when it got here.
He said when it was like in a manila envelope.
Sure.
And he said when it arrived, the grease, the oil had come through the entire bag. You could almost see through the bag.
Butter.
The butter, right. You could see right through the bag. Wow. But he said he ate it, and it was amazing. Coming up, my conversation with Marie-Paul and Steve continues. Now, it's all been lovey-dovey between them so far, but what will Marie-Paul say when she finds out that Steve's topping Belgian waffles with pulled pork? Quel scandale. Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Before we get back to waffles, I want your input on an upcoming show. I'm going to have Kenji Lopez-Alt in studio with me. You've heard me mention Kenji before. He's the food science genius from Sirius Eats. And I want to play a game called Stump Kenji. So, is there a nerdy question about food or cooking that's been on your mind? This is your chance to get it answered. Like, here are a few ones that I'm going to ask. Why are some hard-boiled eggs easy to peel and others really hard to peel? Does putting an avocado in a paper bag actually make it ripen faster? And if so, how? And what's the deal with asparagus pee? Record your question as a voice memo on your cell phone and email it to me, dan@sporkful.com. Include your first name and your hometown. Again, that's dan@sporkful.com. Let's see if any of you guys can stump Kenji. Now, let's get back to my conversation with Marie-Paul Vermeersch, whose family brought the Belgian waffle to America in 1964. We were joined by Steve Lipschutz from Waffles and Dingus in New York. And I asked them both, is there such thing as too many toppings on a Belgian waffle?
I draw the line to stay very conservative. I mean, do you want to taste what's on the waffle or do you want to taste the actual waffle? And so that was a big little head-on collision between me and my dad at the New York State Fair when he started coming up with the idea of putting whipped cream, strawberries, what he called the waffle sundae with ice cream and then with, you know, and then fudge. And I said, no.
At the Waffles and Dingus truck, Steve, I know you have a section of savory waffles, and you even write in the menu, if the BOWI, Belgian Office for Waffle Inspection, heard about some of the savory waffles we serve, they would lock us up. But New York City is not under their jurisdiction. You got waffles with things
I
like,
was shocked.
Marie Paul, you were shocked. You saw they got pulled pork on top of some of these waffles.
God, yes.
What was your thought when you first heard that?
I look
that?
At his employee and I say, no.
Well, let me just chime in. So we feel that in order to be considered a waffle authority, you need to be able to first offer an authentic Brussels and or Liège waffle, period. Once you can do that, then you can branch out a little bit and take what waffles should be and try to play around with waffles, what waffles can be.
Marie Paul, you've kind of already described what makes a great Brussels waffle, Belgian waffle, great. How do you eat it?
Well, we serve at the World's Fair like we were eating in Belgium, right? Walking into the street and grabbing one from an establishment window with the hands.
Steve, hands or utensils?
Definitely with your hands. I mean, there are different settings for different waffles. Right, there's the Brussels waffle, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is traditionally eaten in a tea house where you sit down and you can add different toppings if you'd like. And then there's the Liège waffle that we're talking about that is it's a traditional street waffle. So as much as you can, eat it with your hands, get in it, you know, try to become one with the waffle.
Several times people ask, can you cut, we garnish the waffle? And can you cut? Me and mom did not speak any English. And my mother would say,
No.
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 It would be like eating a hot dog or a pretzel on the street in New York with a fork and a knife.
Exactly.
You know, it's
no-no. And asking for a fork and a knife to cut your...
Right. But yeah. I do think this also is sort of gets back to one of the tests that distinguishes a Belgian waffle from a typical American breakfast waffle, which is that it needs to be sort of firm enough and of the right size and shape that you can hold it in your... Like if you took a giant, round, you know, one of those circular American-style waffles that has in the four mm-hmm. wedges.
Yes.
If you couldn't hold one of those whole things, it would flop over. Marie Paul, do you have a preference between Brussels and Liège waffles?
No, because they're two complete different things.
Steve, what's your preference, Brussels versus Liège?
I honestly think it depends on the weather.
That's true too.
Right? I mean,
No, that's true too.
There's nothing, you know. It would be like choosing between your children, you know. But if you know,
so tell me, what kind of weather is Brussels waffle weather? What kind of weather is the waffle?
Sit by the beach by the North Sea in a gaufrerie.
Yeah.
And in the afternoon after you've done, you know, just walking and then let's go to a tea, you know, to a, what's it, it's called gaufrerie, those tea rooms that Steve was mentioning earlier. Yeah. And then
that's Liège weather?
No, that's Brussels waffle.
So Brussels waffle is 4 in the afternoon on the North Sea. You've been at the beach all day. You go to a nice tea room. You have a Brussels waffle. What's Liège weather like?
I'm thinking cold, rainy. You need something to comfort you, warm you up. It's like New York City
and stick
today.
To your stomach.
Yeah, you know, it's part of the reason why the majority of our trucks serve Liège waffles. It's because the weather in New York City and in Belgium too is you know, you're going to get cold and rainy weather, and there's nothing like a hot Liège waffle to warm you up.
So we're just about to wrap up here. Marie Paul and Steve, you guys are sort of, you know, two generations of Belgian waffle purveyors. Marie Paul, you know, Steve sort of represents the next generation I know some of the stuff he's doing is a little crazy for your taste, but I think he maybe has demonstrated to you that he has an appreciation for the traditional way. Do you have any advice for Steve?
Try to maintain the consistency, at least in the authentic product that you carry. Always keep your, you know, consistency on that, and train your staff to not inform people wrong.
Rest assured, when we hire new waffle masters, the Belgian-ness is a thing that is a major focus. Don't worry, your family's tradition that you started as, and the legacy it's in good hands.
Thank
for
you.
Sure.
That's Steve Lipschutz from Waffles and Dingus in New York. They make great waffles. They have a cafe. They get food trucks around the city. Check them out at wafflesanddingus.com. And, of course, Marie-Paul Vermeersch, her family introduced America to Belgian waffles. It was a real treat for me to get to talk to her. If you want to taste her family's original recipe, there are two places in the world where you can do it. Syracuse, New York, and Albuquerque, New Mexico. Marie-Paul lives in Albuquerque now, and she does do some catering and special events. And the New York State Fair in Syracuse starts this week and runs through Labor Day. That's where you can find the people who bought Marie-Paul's family's secret recipe, and they're only allowed to make it for 2 weeks a year at the New York State Fair. So go to the Dairy Barn and find the stand called Maurice's Belgian Waffles. They're the ones with the recipe. Maurice is Marie-Paul's father. So you're on the clock, people. Get to Syracuse. Remember to help me play Stump Kenji. If you've got a question about food science, I want to hear from you. Record a voice memo on your cell phone, include your name and hometown, and email it to me, dan@sporkful.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TheSporkful. This show's a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani, Kristen Meinzer, and me. We get help from Tim Ruggieri. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Molly in Los Angeles, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.